Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Coming at you live from Auto Trader, here's New Car Energy.
They're searching inventory. You can make a budget for your wallet to help you succeed. It's smarter car shopping just for
Find
you.
Find your next ride at autotrader.com, powered by Auto Intelligence.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Looking for room, Yossi. There's a one-time shot by Forsberg. It's in the back of the net. Pass blocked by Okiharu. Set across and a backhander by Forsberg beats Comrie as he sprawls after it. And the Predators extend the lead early in the third. It is 3-1. Back to Forsberg. Pass saved by Comrie. Wrap around far post. It's in. Referee says it's a goal. And the Hacks are coming out for Forsberg.
Philip Forsberg goals 31, 32, and 33 on the season. You had all three right there. The hat trick for the Predators' leading goal scorer. And those are our NOCO plays of the game, brought to you by NOCO, the official natural gas and electric supplier to the Buffalo Sabres. As we welcome you in to the Upstate Honda Dealers postgame show, I'm Brian Colziel. 4-2, Nashville defeating Buffalo in the night where, yes, the Sabres lose, but Bo Byram in his debut as a Sabre performs very, very well. Scores just 4:23 into the game on his first shot as a Sabre. He finished with almost 25 minutes of ice time. Byram did 24:58, a time on ice, then a goal and an assist, a nice setup for Owen Power for Buffalo's other goal, a plus one, three shots, and two block shots. So a very, very nice night for Byram in his debut, and considering he hadn't really obviously gotten any practice time in at all, pretty impressive debut for sure. He got time on the penalty kill, he got time on the power play, obviously played 5-on-5 as well, and I thought did a nice job, looked pretty much like, you know, he had worked with these guys before, so impressive performance for him in his debut, and a real nice pass to set up Power there in the third period. A pass through traffic into the middle, right in the slot where Power ends up putting it home. But the Sabres at times tonight did look like they were a team that was playing back-to-back and got in very, very late last night, early in the morning, after the struggling trip from Toronto with the traffic delays and getting into their hotel quite late. There was, you know, some nice moments, but overall, I think, you know, you sit there and say, yeah, you lacked the consistent spunk throughout this game. The Sabres obviously also were out, we should mention, without their best offensive player in terms of Tage Thompson's ability. He was out tonight. We found out just a little, you know, our pregame show that Thompson was out with the team's calling it an upper body injury. Lucas Rusek played in his spot. Rusek played 8:33, but we know Thompson obviously at any moment could put the puck in the net, which would have helped on a night like this. But no Thompson for the Sabres tonight. He's a part of our injury report, which is brought to you by Losi and Ganji, Buffalo's workers' compensation and personal injury attorneys, working hard for hardworking Western New Yorkers. Saturday is next in Edmonton at 12:30 at KeyBank Center. Will Thompson play? Well, he's officially listed as day-to-day, so we'll see as the Sabres come home for a three-game homestand. Edmonton Saturday, Detroit next Tuesday, and then the Islanders next Thursday. All those games right here on the Buffalo Sabres radio network. All right, we'll be heading to the locker room here at any moment, and let's hear from Bo Byram first. Here he is with Paul Hamilton.
Thanks, Brian. Bo, boy, it didn't take you long to get that first goal. Tell me about it.
Yeah, it was nice to get it out of the way. You know, obviously not the way you want your first game with a new team to end, but you know, that's the way it goes, and we'll head back to Buffalo now. I'll try to get my life somewhat sorted and get ready to play again.
How much is just a case of, you know, you have the confidence to take the shot, you got 8 goals already this year, and you saw an opening and took it?
Yeah, I think Dahl's made a good pass over to me, and I just had lots of time. Tried to get it on net, and lucky enough it went in.
How much did you just feel in that game? You know, you had the confidence to play the puck, and you're trying to learn your teammates and learn your partner, but you were still up on the play and doing what you do.
Yeah, it was kind of, a bit of a learning experience. You know, playing with a new team, new systems, new partner, new line mates, like you said. So just something that we'll continue to work through and continue to build on.
It did seem like there was a lot of communication with Rasmus. It looked like the two of you were talking quite often.
Yeah, he's a really good player and very smart and sees the game very well. So, you know, he was very good at communicating what he thought he seen out there and what we could have done. So that was awesome of him.
How do you feel you did with the power play? You're out there on that right flank a little bit. How did you feel that went for you?
Yeah, I thought it went okay. You know, turned the puck over a couple times, which you never want to do. But, you know, once again, just trying to kind of get to know guys' tendencies, where they want the puck and what I'm going to do with it when I get it. So, you know, it'll be a learning curve.
You were right there in the third. Where did it go wrong in the third period? You had it 2-1 going in.
Yeah, I think, you know, they came out and got a couple quick goals there. And yeah, it's unfortunate. You never want to lose a game, and especially it being your first game with a team. But, you know, I thought we had spurts of playing really well and spurts of, you know, getting hemmed in our zone a bit. So it's something we'll look at and continue to improve on.
Thank you, Bo. Bo Byram and Owen Powers right over here. So, Owen, that was a 2-1 hockey game going into the third period. You made it 4-2, but it got to 4-1. How do you feel it got away in the third?
Yeah, I mean, just gave them too many good chances, and when you give good players good chances, they put them in the back of the net. So, kind of gave them some of their goals, and obviously it got a little harder to come back from at 4-1 rather than 2-1.
Did you give Bo a yell when you came down the slot there?
No, actually. I mean, he just found me. I kind of didn't know exactly how much space I had. I knew I had a guy on me, so he made a really nice place to just kind of put it on my stick, and I was able to just put it in.
What would you say your general impressions were? I mean, he gets a goal, he's up on the play, he's in the power play, finds you with the pass. He has a lot of different skills.
Yeah, no, I mean, I think everyone knew coming in he's an elite talent, and I thought he looked really good out there. He's getting up and down the ice, making plays, like you said, and I thought had a real solid game.
How tough was it in this game for you guys to just summon energy? You know, back-to-back, the travel thing last night, and just it was another kind of low-energy game for a while over the first two periods.
Yeah, I mean, it's obviously tough back-to-back, and especially getting as late as we did, but I think that's what really good teams are able to do is kind of find a way to win when they don't have it. So, but no, it was tough, and I think that's something that we can get better at, is kind of find ways to win when we're maybe not feeling great.
And the one goal in the third period, did you just think they were going to go behind the net with it? It seemed like you made a move to go behind.
Yeah, I mean, I cheated the play back underneath. He was on his backhand, pressure on him, so I thought he was just going to throw it back behind the net, but he made a really nice play and obviously found their best scorer right in front of the net. So, yeah, tough read by me, and just not much else.
Thank you, Owen. Owen Power in the postgame. Brian, back to you.
All right, thank you very much, Paul. Owen Power, and before that, Bo Byram is the Sabre goal scorers right there with Paul on our Blue and Gold Locker Room Report, brought to you by Roswell Park Comprehensive Cancer Center. Early detection of cancer is our goal. Get in the game at roswellpark.org/WGR. 4-2 Nashville. Keep it right here on our Upstate Honda Dealers postgame show, as we will be hearing from Don Granato shortly, and then we'll get Paul Hamilton's take here as the Sabres get 1 point out of a possible 4 here on this 2-game road trip to Toronto and Nashville. Coming home now for 3 in a row with Connor McDavid and the Oilers on Saturday at 12:30. The lone trip of the season for Edmonton coming in on Saturday. Then Detroit and the Islanders. Then a road game in Detroit as that opens up a five-game road trip for the Sabres, which will start in Detroit. And then it's the Western Canada trip that now includes Seattle as well in there. So that's all coming up over the next week or so. But immediately, as we said, next is Edmonton Saturday at 12:30 at Key Bank Center. You know, Eric Comrie playing tonight for Buffalo. And I thought he looked okay. I wouldn't say it was the reason they lost. I also, you know, wouldn't say either that he was looked tremendous either. He did have some nice saves along the way. The first goal that Forsberg scores, he's down low. He's below the circle at that point, and Comrie just doesn't seem to be able to get over in time to cover up that side, which I guess I would call more of a routine play. And Forsberg got a hell of a shot for sure, but beat him over to the glove. I just thought maybe his, you know, his body should have been in a little better position to cover that side anyway. The other goals from Forsberg, the play where Forsberg circles behind the net, Power drops down, and Forsberg circles around the other side, and then Power doesn't seem to kind of know where he is and loses him, and then there's no forward also on the other side to help him out, and he gets the nice pass from Nyquist to get his second of the game, and then he finishes off the hat trick with a wraparound, and that one is just Forsberg speed versus Comrie getting over, and Forsberg wins that battle. It was reviewed, but called a goal on the ice. There was nothing that showed that it wasn't in. So he gets three of the four Nashville goals. You know, we were talking about it in pregame. He was very Forsberg, we know, is very, very good and has 33 goals for a reason. And he gets the hat trick tonight, giving Nashville that 4-1 lead. And then Power gets the nice pass through traffic from Byram to make it a 4-2 Nashville win. All right, let's get you some final stats now. Brought to you by Level Financial Advisors, helping you retire better. Visit levelfa.com. Shots in the third, 12-7 Sabres. It ends up 28-25 Sabres in the game. Both teams had three tries on the power play. Sabres 0 of 3. And Predators 2 of 3. So special teams edge tonight definitely to the home squad. In net, UC Saros gets the win with 26 saves. Eric Comrie, the loss, 21 saves. Your three stars, Evangelista is star number 3. Nyquist is star number 2. And no doubt about it, Philip Forsberg. Star number 1, Philip Forsberg is our electric player of the game. Brought to you by Town Ford. When you think of Ford, think of Town Ford. The attendance tonight at Bridgestone Arena was 17,159. And that was game 64 for the Sabres. So 18 to go. And obviously another loss in regulation gives the Sabres no points in the standings and a ton of work to do still here as they go forward. Tampa Bay did lose in regulation. Detroit had the night off. So the Sabres, as of this moment, are still 9 points back of a playoff spot, although some of the other teams in the mix did pick up more points tonight, including the Capitals, who just absolutely blasted Pittsburgh 6-0 on a night where we're getting reports that Jake Guentzel has been traded from Pittsburgh to the Carolina Hurricanes. Carolina won, by the way, their game against Montreal. But, yeah, Tampa lost. Red Wings were off. So they both remain at 72 and 72 right now. They are leading the wild card race. And the Sabres with 63. I mean, look, even just these last two games, if you could have ground out, you know, it was 2-1 in over. If Tage Thompson, let's just say, beat Samsonov last night in overtime, there's another point. Maybe tonight, you know, was asking for a win too much, but you get that goal from Thompson, or even if you hold on to that third period lead against Winnipeg the other night, okay, maybe you have three more. Well, the Sabres would have 66. And even just that little more, now they're only within 6. With 3 head-to-head meetings with Detroit. I mean, it would feel a little different. They still would have a lot of work to do, but it would feel a little different. The fact that you still now are below a point per game, and I know it's barely, but 64 games played, 63 points. I mean, you are on pace for just under 82 points. I mean, that is, we know, not going to be good enough. Last year, 92 got in. The Sabres had 91. Buffalo has 18 games left. If they go 15-3 sounds very, very rough to do. If they go 15-3 in their remaining 18 games, that would give them 30 more points. That gives them 93. That still may not be enough. I know 93 would have gotten him in last year, but even a 15-3 record to finish still may not be enough. That's how much the Sabres have put themselves in a hole. And they've played okay here over the last 2 weeks, kind of back and forth hockey. We know January and February were very good, but October and November, December were just, you know, they buried themselves. And now there's no room for error at all. And as I even said, if you somehow even could say, yeah, I can see them winning 15 of their next 18 games, well, it still could be short. So the percentages, I'm sure, for them to make the playoffs now have to be, you know, in that 1 to 2% ratio, I'm going to guess. If I think I saw 1.9%. Maybe before the Toronto game, maybe it's, you know, it would be less at this point. But, you know, what are we looking for storylines here? Well, we know Bo Byram tonight obviously performed quite well. Great statistics, made some real nice plays, looked very good for a game that he played with teammates that he had never practiced with before. So that is good news. You know, what else here? Well, over the next, less than 24 hours, we're talking about tomorrow afternoon, the trade deadline upcoming. Was this the last game for Kyle Okposo? Was this the last game for Žemgus Girgensons? We know Eric Johnson hasn't been playing over these last, you know, week and a half or so. Will be his last time being with this team in a Sabre uniform. We'll see. Saturday's next home game. The next home game for the Sabres is Saturday. That's after the trade deadline. I would expect that Kevin Adams will at least do something here over the next hours here as that we approach the trade deadline. I don't think we'll see anything to the level of Casey Mittelstadt's trade in terms of the impact or out and the impact coming in. But I would think maybe two of those three that I mentioned, Johnson, Girgensons, and Okposo might get moved. Okay, Don Granato live in Nashville with Paul.
That game through two periods. I mean, what did you think of the third period? You just weren't able to get over the hump.
Yeah, I mean, we knew we were going to battle probably some fatigue tonight. I thought that disappointing. It was two goals on a power play or penalty kill, I should say, and just some missed couple mistakes. It's in your net. Till that point, the penalty kills were good. There was another good penalty kill in there. We knew you were going to battle fatigue. We just couldn't pull through. There were some good things, but obviously the result wasn't what we wanted.
And when you talk about fatigue, do you mean mental fatigue too? It seemed like even a couple decisions in the third period were just off.
It is. That's what fatigue does. It's usually mental as well as physical. I mean, obviously you can see the probably track the speed of guys and see that it's a different game. But yes, and it's adapting. And I thought, you know, we did well in that regard. We had chances to score. Saros was good. We didn't convert and probably obviously wanted to limit a couple that went in our net. So. You know, it was not a. It was a game that we kept close enough that had we converted, it's a winnable game, and it's not going to be pretty, but it's just that little bit more. Maybe again a little bit better on the penalty kill. We don't give up two. It's 1-0 us going to the third, whatever it is. But it's just below the bar tonight in that regard, and that's the result. But absolutely, you know, you're going to have mental fatigue, and again, it's dealing with it. It's adjusting, adapting, and that's what I said, reducing mistakes in that area.
Impressions of Bo, you get a goal, you get an assist, and he was up in the power play, up in the play, just kind of showed the skills you thought he had, I assume.
Absolutely, he's dynamic, and you know, when you in the peer group with Dahlin, a year different, a draft year different, has won a Stanley Cup, is. You know, the top five pick to have him, knowing he's gone through incredible experience already and the experiences already in this league, and keep in mind they're both around 22 years old. You know, not a lot of life experience yet, although they've got some NHL experience. Dynamic, and it's exciting to see. The potential of those two players. I thought Dahlin was a bit tired tonight. He didn't execute the way he normally does. But you can see those two together are going to be very, very good for us. And it's exciting to have that and know that, even though the outcome tonight was disappointing.
When you as coaches prepare Bo for this game, obviously you can't put too much on him. Do you just basically give him the basics and just tell him to go play his game because it's the first one?
Simplify it as much as you can. That's why I mentioned last night I felt having Dahlin with him would help integrate him. And, you know, Darlene's a great communicator. I thought that went very well in regard. And, yeah, it's bit by bit, but he'll pick it up bit by bit. Obviously, a little bit different system coming from man-on-man coverage, but he'll fit in, I would think, very fast.
You're down middle stats, so obviously you have to figure out how to account for those minutes. You're going to get through the deadline now tomorrow. Just how different does Saturday become, where you kind of know what you have or what you don't have at this point? The uncertainty kind of goes away.
It'll be nice to obviously move past the trade deadline. Tonight we were without Thompson as well, so you know, obviously there's Middlestead in the trade, and you lose Thompson this afternoon. You know, not ready to go, but it's. Especially this time of the year, you know you're going to have to adjust quick. And I think our guys, you know, they played hard tonight. And again, you limit a couple more mistakes, it's a different game. It was, you know, close enough to do that. We've been in this situation earlier in the year where it wasn't even close to a close game. You know, the game was over and we had no chance. So it really didn't put ourselves in a position, a good chance to win a game. But yeah. You know, you move past the deadline, it'll be, you know, much more clear of what we have personnel-wise and then what we'll do with it with respect.
On the wraparound, was there any clear look that your staff saw to say whether it was in the net or not in the net?
I could not. We're limited with our camera angles. And you see me looking at the floor because there's the TV's in the baseboard below us, but couldn't see on that one. And there's a reflection on the screen and everything, so not a good angle when you're watching that stuff.
Thanks to Doug Granato on the postgame. Brian, back to you.
Granato there. A lot of comments about Bo Byram and his debut, but numerous times they're just talking about, hey, if they could have just eliminated a few of the mistakes, it's a winnable game. I would agree. I don't think Nashville put on any sort of incredible display tonight, but Philip Forsberg, who's Nashville's best goal scorer, stepped up his game. And, you know, you let him score three times, it's going to be very tough to overcome that, as Buffalo's power play also had opportunities. They went 0-3. All right, you're listening to the Upstate Honda Dealers postgame. 4-2 Predators win. Let's go back to Bridgestone Arena, get a couple of final thoughts. Paul Hamilton. Paul, I'm sure fans want to talk about Bo Byram's performance here. Even in a loss, performed very well. Almost 25 minutes of ice time, 2 points, goal, assist, a plus one, three shots, block shot, and looked like it wasn't his first game with a team that he's never practiced with.
Yeah, I mean, there were a few problems. As he said, he gave the puck away, especially on the power play a little bit in that last one. But, yeah, I thought it was a good start for him. And I think the communication was good between him and Darlene. It would have helped had Darlene played better. But, you know, when it came to the fatigue, I thought, and that's why I asked about it, I saw more mental fatigue than I saw physical. Because they were hanging in there. It was 2-1. They had 15 shots, but they were there. And he's absolutely right. If they convert on one of those things with Saros, all of a sudden it's a different hockey game. And they had a couple of good opportunities that they did create. But, you know, what I asked Owen Power about that one time, you know, where, you know, he was had a man in front. And then, you know, there was he guessed and went to the back of the net and left one of the best goal scorers in the National Hockey League by himself in front. You can't vacate the front. And that's where I think that's where when that happens, that's where the fatigue is coming in mentally. You know, one of the early goals, he had no idea. Evangelista came behind him. He didn't see him. But that's I don't know if that's a fatigue thing. That's kind of just a problem he has as a young defenseman, which I think he will fix eventually, because it happens a lot to him. And I think that's a second-year guy that I think he will be fine with that. I really do. I think he will figure that out and not have any problems with that as he gets a little bit older. But that's, to me, the biggest bugaboo he has is he loses people around the net. His awareness is very poor right now. But that is something that can be fixed.
Yeah. Paul up front offensively, just two goals, and obviously Byram kind of was in on them both there. The power play let them down tonight, and obviously special teams overall, no goals on the power play, and they gave up two to Nashville.
Yeah, you know, that's the one I think is on Comrie, the Forsberg goalie. He got over slow, and he didn't even have the short side covered, and you give that goal scorer the short side. Yeah, good night. And, you know, the other one where, you know, as the play I described with Power where he popped behind the net, again, who gets the puck? Forsberg. And he's kind of nifty, you know, the way he just, you know, puts a nice move on Comrie and just puts a backhand right under the crossbar. That's why he scores goals every single year, because he is a real nifty player, and you can't give him those types of opportunities. The wraparound, I don't know what you saw. I did not see anything that would tell me one way or the other if that was a goal. O'Reilly put his stick up right away, but my thought is, too, is O'Reilly trying to buy a goal there? You know, you
just like Oposo did last night, remember?
Yeah. Yeah, you put your stick up. I hate bringing it up myself, but I always did that. Like a goal, I wouldn't put my stick in the air unless I wasn't sure if the referee saw it.
Yeah.
And then I would. You know, I would do that. So other than that, I never did. So, you know, sometimes you're trying to buy a goal there, too, where you're standing right on the goal line or something. So, all right, let's put the stick up and see if we can get this one.
Paul, tomorrow, we'll finish with this here. Tomorrow, obviously, is the trade deadline. I'm guessing there's at least somebody tonight that is not going to be on the team on Saturday here. What do you have for your coverage? I know you're going to be at KeyBank Center all day, correct?
Yeah, get down there probably 9:30. And the problem with these days is most of the guys are gone now. I mean, it used to be the trade deadline. It's like, okay, about 12:30, 1 o'clock, the action starts, and the players start getting traded and everything. Most of them are traded already, you know, around the National Hockey League. So I think it's going to be kind of boring, but I will certainly be down there hanging out and be bored probably to tears. But if something happens, we certainly will be there.
That's right. And the next hockey game, we get to watch Connor McDavid, so that's exciting.
Yeah, we haven't seen him in a while, have we?
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. I'm sure, you know, he's the star of the league. So we like watching good hockey players, and obviously he's the best of the NHL. So that'll be Saturday at the very least. We have that. Thank you, Paul. Have a safe trip home. We'll see you on Saturday.
Have a good one.
All right. We'll be listening to Paul's coverage tomorrow. Trade deadline. He'll be at KeyBank Center, as he said, morning and all afternoon. We'll be hearing from Kevin Adams, and Paul will be having reports with any news from what the Sabres are doing on the trade front. All right, we're going to at this time say goodbye to all of our local affiliate stations. If you want to keep listening to the Upstate Honda Dealers postgame, you can go to WGR550.com or join us on the Odyssey app. Final score from Nashville, Predators 4, Sabres 2. I'm Brian Colziel. More postgame coming up right after this on the Buffalo Sabres Radio Network.
That's knocked down by a high stick. No, stays in play. Big hit. Evangelista hit by Greenway.
There's some lumber up there from Jordan Greenway. Dan Dunleavy on the wall. It's our Clinton Collision hit of the game. Clinton Collision, we're there when you need a repair. 4-2 Nashville over Buffalo. Welcome back. It's the Upstate Honda Dealers postgame show. Let's get to our save of the game now. Well, Eric Comrie hanging on strong here, trying to keep Buffalo in it as he gets his first start in quite a while.
Far circle one-timer. Pad save made by Comrie. Forsberg's got the rebound. Clean takeaway by Forsberg. Backhand to front of the net. Off a skate. Ryan O'Reilly shot. Stop. Rebound. Taken away by Krebs to the corner.
Couple of nice saves there from Comrie. Our save of the game brought to you by your Upstate Honda dealers. To see the exciting all-new Honda lineup, visit your local Upstate Honda dealer today. Yeah, Forsberg stopped there, but he gets the last laugh. Three goals, hat trick, 31, 32, and 33 on the season. First star honors as the Sabres fall 4-2. Up next, well, if you had trouble stopping Forsberg, get ready. McDavid and Draisaitl are coming to town Saturday afternoon. I love the 12:30 starts on a Saturday. I don't know why. It just gives me something to get fired up for on Saturday morning to head down to the arena. I'll have pregame at 11:30, so looking forward to that on Saturday, getting you ready for the Sabres and the Oilers. And then a couple of more home games, Detroit and the New York Islanders, before Detroit again as they open up a five-game road trip, which after Detroit is all Western Canada and Seattle. All right, let's see what's going on in the rest of the league here. We get the scores brought to you by Alex's Place in Batavia. Oh, man. Now I want ribs. Let's see what's going on elsewhere. Matchup of the night in Boston, fair to say, between the Bruins and the Leafs. And the Bruins continue to have Toronto's number, a 4-1 final as the Leafs fall. Pasternak is 39th, got the scoring going, and Boston never looked back. Also 4-1 in Raleigh, Hurricanes beat the Canadiens, and now the Canes looking to add Jake Guentzel here, reports saying that he will be going from Pittsburgh to Carolina. The Oilers, as we mentioned, come in here Saturday. They lost in Columbus by a score of 4-2 to the Blue Jackets. Zach Hyman continuing to be red hot, his 43rd goal of the season. Connor McDavid did assist on that goal. He has 77 assists this season. Other finals down in Sunrise, Panthers lose at home to the Flyers by a 2-1 margin. In New Jersey, the Devils get a hat trick from Timo Meier as the Devils beat the Blues 4-1. How about this score in Pittsburgh? What a, trading away Guentzel. The Penguins haven't been in a playoff spot for most of the season. They get blasted at home by the Capitals, 6-0. And they were trying to get past Washington in the standings. Instead, the Caps widen the gap there. Tampa losing at home. I guess if you're still hoping for the Sabres in the standings, they got some help there. Calgary winning by a 6-3 margin in Tampa. All right, these are the games going on right now. Minnesota is winning at Arizona right now by a 3-2 score. 12 minutes to go in the third period there. Early third in Vegas. This is another good one. Canucks and Golden Knights going at it. And right now Vancouver has a 2-1 lead in the second period in that game. After one in Los Angeles, the Senators have a 1-0 lead on the Kings. And after one in San Jose, the Islanders, a 2-0 lead on the Sharks. If the Islanders win, they'll move within 2 points of both wild cards and would have games in hand, two games in hand on Tampa. The Islanders have won 4 in a row and looking good to win 5 here. Are the Islanders a playoff team? Maybe.
Why?
I don't know.
Why?
Are they?
Why do we? Well, they have to bore us into playoff contention all the time. Ugh.
I would love Tampa to miss the playoffs, but do I really want the Islanders to get in instead?
At what cost, Brian?
I don't want the Caps in either. I guess I could live with the Devils. It should be the Sabres taking that spot, but, well, we know why that's not the case. Yeah, I don't really like any of the teams that are in the mix for the wild card. I guess I would say, like, oh, it's refreshing to see Detroit, but then it's another reminder, oh, you were supposed to be the ones that was making that stride this year, not Detroit. Yep. Detroit did it. Sabres didn't.
Yep.
Yeah. Penguins, Caps, I'm fine with them missing. Tampa, I've had enough of them. But, yeah, the Islanders are looking good right now. They're rolling San Jose right now. They win, they get within two of both the Wings and the Lightning, and they'll have two games in hand on the Lightning.
And I called the Islanders boring, but they did hire Patrick Waugh as the coach, so I'll give them that. That's not a boring move, but...
No, that's right. The Islanders, by the way, remember we have been talking so much about the Sabres' inability to get close games to overtime. The Islanders have 14 loser points.
That's nice.
Buffalo has 2 more regulation wins than the Islanders.
Stop it. We did this the other night. It's like you said, they were supposed to be past Detroit. They were supposed to be Detroit this year, right? They were supposed to get Patrick Kane, right? Like, everything was supposed to go their way.
Yes, Kane, good call on that.
Here we are.
Didn't happen. There's our look at the NHL standings, brought to you by Native Pride and Tall Chief Cigars. Stand tall with Native Pride. Let's get to our ServPro first response from the fans now. ServPro of Central Buffalo's Team Luzzy responds first and faster to any size disaster. We always welcome your tweets on all of our Upstate Honda Dealers post-game shows. Let's read some of these off here now. Mike chiming in on Twitter saying, great to see Darlene and Byram off to a good start. Hopefully these two guys are together for the next decade. Look at the ice time tonight for Byram, TJ. I think almost 25 minutes. That's certainly going to help Darlene, who played 26:05. It's actually one of his shortest ice times he's had here in these last few weeks. He's been playing almost 29, 30 minutes all these nights. But the thought of these two together, gelling without one practice together, and I thought they had some really nice chemistry moments tonight.
Definitely agree with that, and I love the point about the ice time, because as soon as the trade was made, immediately I thought the Sabres have had depth issues at defense for years, where they've had to play one or two guys a lot more minutes than they can really handle. Rasmus Ristolainen is a great example of this for years. Dahlin did it for a little while, and he's been doing it a few times again this year. He had a string of, what, 8 or 9 games where he was playing, 28 minutes a night. So good to see them kind of shore up that back end. And even for the future, it allows them to play a little bit more with a bona fide top four and really, I don't want to say experiment with the bottom two defenders, but it gives you a lot more flexibility there.
I agree. And I like Paul's point that he said in the intermission, too, that if this ultimately puts Joki Haru in your bottom pair, he thinks he can be better and fresher. And we also know Joki Haru can play a ton of minutes, so if you do get an injury, him moving up to fill in isn't going to be that much of a drop-off, whereas, you know, you're scrambling right now with injuries. Before Byram was here, you know, look at what the defense looked like with these injuries, you know, with Samuelson, and when Power was out a little bit there too. So,
right.
I'm guessing, you know, Kevin Adams obviously still has an off season to go here, and, you know, maybe even something tomorrow. But if it's easy, if I said to you tomorrow, or if I said to you, here's how the back end of the Sabres come in next year, it will be Dahlin and Byram. It'll be Samuelson and Power. It'll be Joki Haru and Clifton. Those are your top six, with Lukanen and Levi as your goalies.
And you're also leaving out Ryan Johnson.
Ryan
as
Johnson.
Well. So Clifton's probably your
right.
Seven in that regard.
Maybe Clifton's your seven. Ryan Johnson. I forgot. Yeah, that's right. Add him in there too. So there's your seven, with Lukanen and Ryan and Levi. You'd think there is doesn't have to be a lot of tinkering there, right?
You want to say that, but you. That's, I feel like that's what you thought this past off season. So the good thing is you've made your move here. You've traded away Casey Mittelstadt, and I feel like they've kind of ripped the Band-Aid off of, they've had this group together for nearly over two full seasons, it feels like.
Yeah.
So now, trading somebody of Mittelstadt's status on the team, I think, was a big deal.
Yeah. I've heard the phrase, and it works, flip the depth. You had a lot of depth down the middle, flexibility with Mittelstadt, and because of a contract decision upcoming here, now you don't have to make it. You've got a young guy that fits great on defense, and now your defense looks a lot more solid. Now, with forward, this is what I think is going to be very interesting this offseason. There's really not much to do with guys like Thompson and Cousins and, you know, obviously, you know, Skinner and others. They're under contract. Tuck still under contract. But
other than hope they get better.
That's right.
From this year.
For sure. Oposo likely will not have a roster spot. Gergensen's likely will not have a roster spot. Olofsson will likely not have a roster spot. Will they bring back Eric Robinson? I mean, that could be another one that doesn't have a roster spot. So suddenly now you've got, you know, four players that played tonight that Kevin Adams can figure out what's he want to do with call-ups and prospects and draft picks. And let's remember, we haven't even spent a cent yet in free agency. So all right. That's kind of on the table. And I think that's, you know, I think the off season, where last year we spent the whole off season saying, what are we gonna do in goalie? Well, it worked out. I don't know if it was, you know, by lucky mistake with Lukanen or whatever, but it worked out. And that's what we, you know, and then would he add to the defense? Well, he really didn't make the move like he just did with Byram. And that, you know, ultimately is a reason also, too, why this team is out on the outside looking in the playoffs. Had this move come in the offseason, maybe we would have a different outcome. Instead, it was the addition of the back-end defense with Clifton and Eric Johnson, and we know ultimately that really didn't work out, at least, or have a big enough impact enough here to change where the Sabres are on the standings. I think this offseason it'll be all about the forwards and what prospects come up and which guys get the shot, and then also, you know, who else does he add via free agency, because if there's, you know, at some point they are going to sign somebody in free agency, and I would think forward is where the position would end up being.
I don't disagree. That's pretty much the only space they have for a move to be made at this point.
Yeah.
Unless they decide to make any more trades, if not tomorrow, then over the offseason.
That's right. Well, tomorrow, Paul Hamilton, as he said, He's flying home, and he'll be back down at KeyBank Center. He said around 9 o'clock or so, and there all day. Live updates during our local programming on our flagship station on WGR all throughout the morning and afternoon. Kevin Adams at some point will meet with the media after the trade deadline is over in the afternoon, and you know, we'll have coverage with you all day on WGR, so make sure you're tuned in. And then I'll be on the air next for our next Sabres broadcast Saturday, 11:30 pregame, 12:30 puck drop. I'm pumped to see McDavid. I really am. You know, I like watching the bests, and he's the best on the planet. So that'll be fun on Saturday at KeyBank Center.
I do wonder if the Sabres will do another one of those shut him down things again. They seem to be the only team that knows how.
They do a good job against him. I mean, there are others, though. Hyman's been scoring at an incredible pace. Dreisaitl obviously can score, too. And Edmonton can, you know, even if they get goals from these other guys here or there, the Sabres aren't scoring right now. I mean, look, two against Winnipeg, one against Toronto, two against Nashville. Like, the puck's not going in the net. I mean, Vegas, they got seven. That seemed to be more of an outlier than that much. Even Carolina's win was 3-2. That was a shootout. They really only scored two. You know, they only scored two in Florida. So there's still the offensive scoring woes is still rearing its head here as Buffalo maybe tries to put together a miracle finish that's not happening. All right, let's put a wrap here on our Upstate Honda Dealers postgame. I want to thank everybody for listening tonight. Nashville winning 4-2. I want to thank our crew, TJ Luckman. You just heard from him, our network producer tonight. Kyle Powell on our social media. You can check out more at WGR550.com with his game story. Paul Hamilton, our reporter at Bridgestone Arena in Nashville. Tom Matty is our engineer. Shope and the Bulldog on the pregame. And for our game announcers, Dan Dunleavy and Rob Ray. I'm Brian Colziel. Again, the final, Nashville 4, Buffalo 2. Thank you for listening. Enjoy the trade deadline coverage tomorrow, and I'll speak with you Saturday. Sabres and Oilers right here on the Buffalo Sabres Radio Network. Good night, everyone.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
You can't count on much these days.
No way, Jim! This is incredible!
But you can always count on Sundays with the NFL on CBS and Paramount Plus.
Here we go! This time for real!
Watch your local NFL game live every Sunday, starting with a classic Week 1 NFC North rivalry between the Lions and the Packers. Visit ParamountPlus.com/NFL to get started today and count on Sundays with the NFL on CBS and Paramount Plus.
Heather is a nurse practitioner from UnitedHealthcare.
We meet patients wherever they live.
During a house call, she found Jack had an issue.
Jack's blood pressure was dangerously high.
It was 217 over 110.
So they got Jack to the hospital and got him the help he needed.
He had had a stent placed in his heart, preventing a massive heart attack.
If it wasn't for my guardian angel, I wouldn't be here.
Hear more stories like Jack's at UnitedHealthcare.com. Benefits, features, and/or devices vary by plan. Area limitation and exclusions apply.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and sugar-free. First-round picks like watermelon, wild berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app, available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.